Delighted to have on the Kicking It With the Colonels podcast today members of the EKU Volleyball. We have A.G. Vandegrift, Paige Wagers, Emily Hill, and Cooper Abney here with us today. Guys, thanks so much for tuning us in. And ladies, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, yes, sir. Thanks for having us.
All right. So, first of all, I want to start by saying a big congratulations to A.G. It was a big couple of 24 to 48 hours for you to be able to, of course, on the volleyball court, you have a career high in kills, and then right before that, something else happened. So explain if you don't mind.
Yes, sir. Well, Saturday before our second game on Sunday, I got engaged.
Yay!
So we got to get a close up of the ring. Yeah, we'll show the gorgeous bling off.
Ling.
I know you probably want to play in that, but I would advise probably not to play in it.
Yes, yeah. I was advised to keep it at home. That way I don't lose it in my bag or somewhere in the locker room.
Were you in shock or were you expecting it?
There were some signs. Like, he mentioned my nail color, and you know how guys are. Like, they don't necessarily care about your nail color, so he was giving hints about.
Speaking from experience, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. But congratulations.
Thank you.
We're just going to have a good time here. Your childhood prior to coming to EKU, tell us about how you grew up, and we'll get into kind of what led you to EKU in a little bit later. But what was your all's childhood experience like?
So I grew up with two siblings. I have an older brother and a younger sister, and both my parents played college sports. So from a young age, I was just always in the yard playing wiffle ball, kickball, you name it, we played it. And it was just a super competitive but friendly environment, and it was just a super fun childhood, just playing sports all the time in the front yard.
Super competitive,
Super competitive. Yeah. Always someone's coming inside in tears.
What happened if somebody lost? Did you have to do like another chore or
no,
take the trash out?
No, but it was definitely tears.
Well, I grew up here, actually, until middle school. I was in Richmond and then moved to Lexington, and I didn't start playing volleyball until high school, so every other sport, basically, besides basketball, I never picked up basketball, which most people are shocked to hear. But, yeah, I just both my parents played sports, and I have an older sister that also she ran track at Madison Central and graduated from there, and so we're a highly competitive family as well. I think that's most of the most athlete stories. But, yeah, so I ended up. You know, someone was like, hey, you're really tall. You should play volleyball. And I did it, and I loved it, and quit everything else. So.
And it seemed like most people, especially if you're tall, they automatically assume you play basketball. Mm-hmm. It's not volleyball.
No. I don't know. That is true. So my dad played basketball, and I tell them this story all the time. When I was little, I wanted to play basketball, and I was like probably 8 or 10 years old in that range, and my dad would take me to the Y up here in Richmond, and we would, you know, I'd be like, you need to show me, like, I want to learn how to play basketball, how to shoot the ball and all that stuff, and he would take the time, show me the right technique and everything, and then I would go to shoot, and he would just, like, block it and, like, think it was so funny, and I was like, mark my words, I'm never playing basketball because you did that, and here we are. Never
here
played
you are
basketball.
On volleyball.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like AG, I grew up with two siblings, but mine were older brothers, so I was always like, where are the boys at? Like, I want to play what they're playing. But it was just a lot of playing outside and just growing up in a super competitive environment. And my dad played college football, and he kind of raised all of us to just find something that we love. And he kind of always pushed us towards sports and just working hard. But my parents were always so supportive of, like, whatever I wanted to do. So I was like Paige. I picked up a bunch of sports. I played basketball, softball. I was heavily into track in high school, but I ended up having to give it up for – volleyball because it just with traveling and club and all that. But yeah, I just grew up in a super competitive family, and I think that explains a lot about me today.
What was your least favorite sport?
I definitely say I played soccer when I was really young, so I don't like running very much, but probably basketball. I only played defense. I didn't know how to shoot the ball, so
usually it's the other way around.
Yeah,
nobody wants
I just
to play.
Was like this, yeah. So moved on to the
moved
next
on to volleyball.
Yeah.
Cooper?
For me, I'm the oldest of two siblings. I have a brother and a little sister. But both my parents played college sports, so just grew up playing sports all the time. My dad's, he's coached basketball at our high school for like almost 30 years now, so I just grew up running around the gym. So like for Christmas, I remember we would bring our bikes that we got for Christmas up to the gym and just ride them around. So I would say that I've literally just lived in a gym my whole life, and I love it. But yeah, we just grew up playing sports. But honestly, I thought I was going to be a cheerleader. I literally hated sweating. Like I did soccer, and I always volunteered to be the goalie because I didn't want to run. Okay. I didn't want to sweat. And I was like, ew, mom, like this is terrible. And then I tried volleyball and I loved it. And still my family talks about how it's still a shock today that I'm playing volleyball because I hated sweating and running and all the things. But yeah, both my siblings play sports and my parents played sports. So it's just been a big part of my whole life.
So did you actually like take gymnastic class or?
No, I don't think my parents would ever. Well, I did like one gymnastics class, but I don't think they would ever sign me up for like cheerleading class. Yeah. So no, I did not. But
Now, from a young age, I always thought that I wanted to be an NBA player. I wanted to grow up, shoot high. What did you want to become when you were a child? What was your dream job?
I know for me, I was dead set on being the weather girl. I mean,
the weather girl.
The weather girl, yes. We traveled all the way, I think it's to the Space Center. It's either in Alabama or Tennessee. Just so I could practice being on TV and pointing up to all the states or whatever it is. And I was dead set. Like I thought that's where I was going to be on Fox News, you know, reporting live AG with the weather. And I was going to be up there telling them what the weather was. But obviously here I am today.
How long has it been since you practiced that?
And a while.
I feel like you need to give us a little preview. Bring it back.
All right, reporting live.
All right, the wheel is the state.
Okay, here is Richmond, Kentucky. It is currently 65 and sunny. Here is Berea. It is currently tornado warning, so buckle up and go somewhere safe. Make sure there's no windows and you're underground. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Boom.
Back to you.
Yeah, back to you.
There's a 100% chance it's already raining. That's fantastic. Paige, what about you?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I think when I was little, I was really into like being like a marine biologist. I feel like I was like super into that, but I don't even like going to the beach anymore. I'm like more of like a mountains person now and I like the cold. So, that wouldn't have worked out. Like being a vet or marine biologist or something like that. I'm in accounting now. So that just wasn't going to pan out for me.
I wanted to be either a veterinarian or a doctor. I just always had like a doctor kit nearby and I used to wear these like scrubs and I'd have the whole shebang. But, I wanted to be a vet cause I loved animals, but.
Did you always play doctor?
Yes. Yeah. I was always checking out my mom and my dad, make sure they were okay and healthy. So.
And they always were, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to be a teacher. I would like go into our little play area and speak to no one and just like do my little teaching things. But. No, that's not really.
You were the cool teacher, though,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I actually remember I was Miss Snow. That was my name. I couldn't tell you why, but I remember it. Yeah.
Okay. There we go. When did volleyball become substantial for you? When did it really start to take off and take you to the level you're at right now?
I started playing volleyball, I'd say, like a later age. So I moved schools and I was in seventh grade and I knew that's all right. Let me just try out volleyball. And so I tried it, played for my middle school and it was just kind of, our school was just kind of middle of the pack, kind of average. And then once I started getting in high school, I was like, wow, I really, really like this. I really could see myself doing this. And I had a teammate who I played in high school for another school. And she introduced me to the club that I went to, A5. And she was like, hey, come test this out. And I walked in the gym and it was one of the most competitive environments I've ever been in my life. Cooper went there as well, so you can attest to that. But it was just super competitive, and I liked it. I liked the drive all the girls had, and I knew from there that's kind of where I learned, I guess, some of the basic things that I have for now, my skill now. So
very cool. Both Georgia girls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For me, I think it wasn't like one aha moment. It was kind of just like small steps leading up. Like I said, I started playing volleyball at the beginning of high school. And then I was like, you know, my friends that had been in it for a while, they were all trying out for the nationals team for our club in Lexington. And they were all like, you should try out. Like you would make a team. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll try. And then, you know, I was making like the ones team on the national team. And I'm like, all right, well, this is weird. I've never, you know. And then it just kept building. And then I think probably my sophomore year of high school, back then we were still able to talk to coaches like there was no stipulation on like age. So, I mean, there was girls that were getting, you know, recruited in seventh grade, you know. I started, you know, kind of like getting some interest from schools, and I was like, oh, wow. So I can go play this like at a Division I level, you know. And so then I started taking it really seriously. And but yeah, that was kind of my story.
Very cool.
Like Paige said, mine was more of like a gradual love for the sport. But I started playing in fifth grade, but not really like serious since I played all these other sports and stuff. But I started like really imagining myself in college and just later in life playing the sport I love. And it started my freshman year when I decided to make the move to a higher club, Muncie-Anna, because I was really blessed location wise because Central Indiana is like, they grow lots of good volleyball players. But my high school, my coach, she really just gave me the love for the sport. Just an amazing woman. And being in such a competitive high school gym and then transferring to a club gym that is just like no other, multiple national championships. So it's like I grew up very blessed with coaches that care about me and teammates that wanted me to be my best. So I think just knowing that there's programs out there for me in the future in college that are like that. And then I found EKU and I loved it. So then I decided to come here. So
very cool. Muncie-Anna was the same place Kendall played, right?
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say for me, it was about eighth grade. Again, I was like, you know, like, let's try volleyball. I tried it, and just like Emily, I was really blessed with a really successful high school program with great coaches who coached at big clubs. I also played at A5 with AG, which is super competitive. And honestly, when I tried out, I had no clue what I was getting myself into. And then I made a team, and they were like, you have really great potential to be a big volleyball player. And I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, I didn't know. But I would say, like, my 16th year, so what was that, sophomore year of high school, I made the top team at our club for my age group, and I think that's where my love for volleyball and just increased, because I realized I can play big Division I volleyball at a high level, and I love to be competitive, and I just love the competitiveness that came out of the level of volleyball that I was playing.
Super. So, yeah. When you first started, what was the most challenging part of the sport?
I know for me, since I didn't really necessarily learn rotations until I got to club, and everyone already knew it. Everyone knew what they were doing. So I got there and I just could not wrap my head around. I had to go from spot to spot to spot, but I didn't play each spot. I went to one certain spot, and I played middle all up until my sophomore year. So whenever I went to A5, I told them I was a middle, and they're like, you're actually left-handed and you're never going to be a middle. So I just had to learn how to hit different sets, different tempos, different stuff like that, and all while trying to figure out that I got to somehow get from spot A to spot B whenever the ball is served. But that was just mind-blowing for me.
You figured it out.
Yes, eventually. Yeah. I got there. Yeah.
We have volleyball school in the spring with Jonna. We'll go over, like, in rotation one, who goes where. But my hardest skill learned in volleyball that's still never been learned is how to set a ball. Can't do it. I really can't. No, I really, really can't.
Like, we've been working on it.
We've been working. You have. They have been coaching me up.
I started to say that you're sitting next to two good ones.
Oh, right there. Oh yeah. They've been. I'm like, you guys, like, no joke. I was never taught how to do this. Like, please. I came in so late, too, that it was like, they were like, okay, you're a middle, like, go block. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't in the passers group, like, learning the basics or setting or anything like that. So, I'm a true middle. Just I do what middles do, and I don't do anything else. But, yeah, setting, still don't know how to do it. I've gotten better, I think.
It has gotten better, because when we first started doing it, like, you would, like, try and set it forward, it would go backwards. But, but it's getting better.
We've been giving her, like, mini lessons before games here and there.
And, like, my hands are so big that I can't, like, I feel like I can't get both of my hands on the ball. And
that's a valid point.
So then I'm like, well, okay, I'm setting it with one hand. So I'm basically, like, this is not right. Emily was like, Pedro, it doesn't make sense. Like, you should be a better setter because you have bigger hands. But no.
Just doesn't work out.
No, doesn't work out.
From a comedic standpoint, we need a role reversal. Like, you go to setting some of your
we did that in the
positions.
We got to, like, pull positions out of a hat in the spring.
Yep.
Ooh,
and, like, we just
fun.
Got to, like, play whatever it was. So that was really fun. So hopefully we do that.
That was
sometimes.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Emily?
For me,
she's like, I was naturally good at everything.
Yeah. I'm just so good.
I don't know. I have things that I, like, want to be better at, I guess. So I'm going to just pick I'm going to pick blocking for mine. I would just say definitely blocking. Like, there's just so much that goes into it. Like, I'm sitting right next to her, of course. But just, like, the footwork, like, your arms, staying out of the net, you know, getting tooled. Like, there's just, like, lineups. It's very confusing. And I'm still learning how to block.
Right.
I'm going to blocking school by Cassie each day. So, yeah, I definitely say blocking is my hardest skill that I definitely need to improve at. So
Emily's like, yeah, I didn't get my second triple-double to my second game. Cooper?
I would say probably just since I started so late, like, I had to learn the, like, sport of setting, art of setting, you could say, like, quicker than most people would have to. I would just say, like, decision-making. Like, there's... I would say setting is so mental just because our brains are going like 1,000 whatever per minute. And it's crazy because you're just thinking of like what's going on their side, but what's also going on your side and how those things affect each other. So I would just say like learning how to be a smart setter. But then also I never like learned how to serve and I'm still working on it, honestly. No. So I would say decision-making and serving is my two.
One thing I notice about you two is before every match, you're more times than not the first people out there just practicing your sets forward and back, and I really applaud that. What's something your teammates would not believe about you in high school? Put you on the spot a little bit here.
Oh, wait, I think I actually have an answer
to
that.
Yeah, you got it. Go for first, because I have no idea.
They could not believe I ran hurdles.
Oh, yeah,
and it was decent. They, like, I showed, like, I told them that, like, last year when I first got here, and they were like, no, you're lying. Yeah. I was like, no, like, guys, like, here, I went to stay here.
Did you pull video?
Yeah, let's race right now.
And I literally did.
Because Sarah was like, no, that's not true. That's not true. I was like, oh, yeah? Pulled it up, and she's like, oh.
And she was, like, smoking everyone else. Really? Too, and I was like, whoa.
I was like, hey, don't underestimate me. If I need to jump over something, I can.
That's incredible. That's a nice little nugget.
Do y'all know? Because I'm still thinking.
I'm also still thinking, Paige.
I don't know. I think that you guys were shocked that I was a dancer. I didn't dance in high school, though, because I was playing volleyball. But, oh, yeah. I was a ballerina. Yeah. I did, okay. Like, I was in a, like, did dance in a studio. That clearly did not pan out either, because I'm not the most graceful or delicate person in the world. So, I don't know. But I would say that. I don't know.
Cooper,
I like
I'm still thinking.
I don't.
It could go back to middle school. Something from middle school.
Something. Oh, you got it, AG.
I've got one. Okay. This is more of a fun story, but believe it or not, I ran one cross country meet, and that was my last one. Out of the Vandegrift sisters, one came in second. One came in second to last. I won't say which is which, but I'm sure you can guess if I only ran one. But yeah, so that was the beginning and end of my cross country career.
Just one.
Just one.
Yep.
Just one.
That's enough.
Hey, at least you tried it.
I would not.
Yeah.
Wait, does it have to be like sports related? Can it be like funny?
No.
I had a bob and bangs in middle school.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
Wait, it was in middle school? I thought it was in elementary.
Both.
Oh. it was years.
When I remember I got the bangs.
You mean like bangs like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you know when it was like the trend? I mean, y'all are older than
me.
It used to be like a trend, like at least my school. And I was like, okay, let me do this. And my mom and I tried to like convince myself that it looked good, but it really didn't. I remember I went to school the next day and they were like, I was like, hey. And they were like, hey. They're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't even know that was you.
I had a new student.
Like, okay. Yeah. So I had, but like all the elementary school,
how
I had
did
a bob.
You, like, play sports with bangs? Like, how did you pull your hair up? Like, you played with bangs out. Like,
no, I pinned them, but it was only for like a few months. I let those things grow and I never touched them again, but I had a bob for like 4 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got to pull pictures of that now and show them.
Yeah. I don't know if I got any. It was bad.
How and when did EKU become on your radar to play here?
Well, I'll go first. I was a local kid, so Jonna actually recruited me in high school, first time around. And
we won't talk about that.
Yeah. First time around, she was, I guess, gosh, this was prior to COVID, so it's been a long time ago. And then I decided to go to another school, and then I entered the portal, and she was one of the first coaches. I mean, I think it was like the day after I put my name in the portal, she called me up. She was like, hey, don't know if you still have my number saved. Long time no see. Like, offer's still there if you want to come here. And I ended up here, and I'm really, really glad I did. So
I'll go next, I guess. My recruiting process didn't really start until like my sophomore year of high school. That's also when they just like had made the new regulation that you can't recruit people out of middle school. So, I got a little bit more time to just like get video together and like get a little bit more familiar with the process. But, I didn't start talking with Jonna and Kendall until like, I want to say like my beginning of junior year. So Kendall's mom was actually one of my high school assistant coaches. And I just remember her being like, yeah, well, Kendall just got to EKU and she really loves it, loves that coach. And they actually are recruiting a setter for your class. So if you like want to reach out. And so she, Kendall's mom actually gave me Jonna's number, and I just like informally texted Jonna, and I didn't think it was going to be anything like too serious from there. But, you know, obviously I'm here and I love everything about here. So yeah, I would just say like Kendall, my connection with Kendall is ultimately like what got me here. So
always helps to have people, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go. My recruiting process didn't really start until like that 16-0 I was talking about, when I made the CMA 5. That's when I realized I like truly wanted to play college volleyball. So then I kind of, you know, just sent out emails, but I wasn't too like, I wouldn't say I was super stressed about my process. I was just really big on like, the Lord's going to put me where he's going to put me, and I'm trusting in his plan. And I remember my recruiting process towards the end before I committed was like really rough. Like, thought I was going to one school, and it was honestly like a heartbreak. I thought I was going there. And then literally the next day, Kendall sent me a text and was like, hey, like, I'd love to have a phone call with you. Picked up the phone, didn't know anything about Eastern Kentucky. Like, it wasn't even like on my radar or anything. And then I had a call, and it was just like, I went on my visit, talked with Jonna, and I was like, there's honestly no better spot for me. I loved everything about it, and I still do. And I just knew this is exactly where the Lord wants me to be. So I'm so glad I picked here.
That makes a good story.
Yeah.
I first came, I guess, in contact with EKU the end of my junior year. And I was at a former club. I was at Tsunami, and one of the former assistant coaches had gone in to see another girl and was actually looking across the gym and was like, who's that kid over there? And just kind of like had me in the back of his mind. And then I moved to A5, and they have like a clinic there where they can showcase people who want to be recruited. And he was looking, and he was like, wow, that girl looks really familiar. And he's like, oh my gosh, it's the same girl that I'd wanted a year previous, just wrong timing, I guess. And so that's whenever they first got in contact with me. And my dad was really big on going somewhere where you know you're wanted, and you know, like, you're going somewhere where they want you and you're an asset to their team. And I traveled like an hour and 45 minutes to club 4 times a week. And so John would call me about two or three times a week and just talk for me the entire time. And I was like, wow, a coach who sits there and talks to me for an hour and 45 minutes, the entire car ride, like that shows like she wants me. She cares about me more than just an athlete. It's like she cares for me for a person, for a human being and stuff like that. So that's whenever I really fell in love with her as a coach. And I came up here for a visit, and I just knew it just felt home. It just felt right. And so that's whenever I came here.
And other programs don't operate that way.
Exactly. No. Exactly. She was the only coach who ever did that.
Yeah.
So
what were your expectations going into college, being a student athlete, and how have they differed from what your expectations were coming in?
I thought we were going to have more perks. I'm just kidding. No, but I think I don't know. I think I wasn't expecting, but I just wasn't prepared for the commitment to the sport that you have at the college level compared to high school. Like my high school, we still practice 6 days a week. It was very intense there, but it wasn't like, it's not just you show up for practice and you leave and you get to go home and you know, you have your 8 hour school day and all that stuff. It's like here we have practice and lift and film, and then we'll meet with Julia, and then we have, you know, this team event we have to do. And they're just so, and then the travel, it's just, it's so much more the commitment. Like you, before I came to college, I didn't think it, you had to really love your sport. Like if I thought it was enough to just, if you just want to get your school paid for, you can do that sport. Once I got here, my biggest advice to girls younger than me that are wanting to come to college, make sure you love this sport, because you're going to live, breathe, eat, die this sport. So if you don't love it, you're going to be miserable. So that's my, that was my.
With the work ethic you all put in, it's basically a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would say I'm kind of the same as Paige. I think looking at it at an academic standpoint, it's just a whole, like, another caliber. Like, in high school, I, you know, like, I could study for an exam the night before and, you know, be fine.
Right.
But it's just not the case with college and being an athlete, especially with traveling and, you know, all the time that we're in the gym. Just finding the time to just sit down and do your schoolwork, which is why you're here. So I think it just was... It was definitely a big change for me, and I know for everybody else on the team, like balancing your schoolwork, your social life, and your sport, obviously, which you're right, it's like a full-time job. But yeah, I would just say like it was kind of a shock just having to time manage and balance and all that. And like I know they try and prepare you for it in high school, and you take a couple introductory courses here, and they say, oh, well, let's make a calendar, but like really, you can't, like, experience it until you just sit down and do it. But like Paige said, though, like, you got to love the sport. Like, you got to know why you're here. You can't just say, I want to get my school paid for. Like, I want to be a part of something. Or, but, like, you really got to love it and love the people you do it with. So
I would say for me, just because I'm, like, fresh off the big change, I didn't realize how big of a commitment it is. Like, how your whole life, like, it is a job. And also, I would just say the level of volleyball, like the change, like for me, like, yes, I played like the highest division possible for club volleyball, but it honestly, yes, it prepared me, but volleyball here is so different. It doesn't matter what level of division one you play, like the girls are bigger and stronger and more powerful and smarter and all the things. And that's something I didn't realize until I started playing. And I was like, wow, like it's a completely different level. And honestly, just like everyone says, like time management, but like, honestly, like it is time management for sure. And it's all on you and you have to learn how to balance that. And I think for me, I'm not very good at planning things out ahead of time. And I've had to get better at that. Like
you
I
have to
know,
quick.
Right. When we're leaving in a week, like I can't just wait to do all my homework the night before we leave, you know? So just balancing all the things and learning like, how to live not by yourself but basically by yourself and you know all the things. So yeah.
For me, I had a bigger brother who played at Georgia, so I'd heard about all the horror stories right. of school and practice and you have no time. But then whenever I got here, especially in the spring, I didn't realize how much free time we did have. Like my roommates and I were just looking for things to do. I mean, like after practice, we have practice like for an hour in the spring, and then you have a class maybe, and then it's like after that we're just looking around like what are we doing. Yeah. So I mean, like we last year would write out all the fast food restaurants, and like we would order like what like 1 to 20, like who had the best fries, like who Aww. Had the best fries, and like go down the order and we're like, nope, who's your top three, and like we would go down and all that stuff.
Power rankings.
Exactly. Yeah. Power rankings of who had the best fast food fries.
That is a great idea. I love yeah. that.
Keep well, that in mind for the spring.
Who was the winner?
Funny thing is, we never actually got to it because we were thinking, like, how do you go to each one and give them a fair chance if they're not hot? Like, you got to have the hot fries, because if you have hot fries from Chick-fil-A, but then you have, like, cold fries from Arby's, it's not a fair chance because the hot curly fries are definitely yeah, better than yeah. Chick-fil-A's hot fries.
Whoa.
I know. I think so. The curly
I mean,
fries
honestly,
are
yeah.
bold take.
Pretty good.
That is a bold take.
Now, during a season, I feel like there's a couple moments that when the season's over, you can circle a couple moments that turn out to be turning points. And I feel like you all have had a couple recently, the reverse sweep against Queens, and then more recently the one here over the weekend against North Florida. Would you all agree with that statement, that could be
Absolutely.
Something that kind of catapults your season in the right direction you want it to go?
Yeah, definitely.
Yes.
I think it's a kind of – I had this conversation with Jonna earlier today, actually. Like, of course – you know, the going to five sets and reverse sweeping Queens, that's not the situation that we wanted. You know, we expected to go in there and sweep them just at the level that we had been playing at in the weeks prior to our match with them. But Jonna said, she actually got this tidbit from AG's dad, that, you know, as a coach, like, you don't want to go to five sets, you know, with one of the lower teams in the conference, but regardless if it's the best team or the worst team in the conference, being put in a situation that team hasn't been put in before and proving that you can do it is beneficial and it helps us in the future. And he said that, and then we turned around and played, you know, yeah. UNF and had to go to five sets with them. And I think me and AG were talking about this walking in here, actually. She was saying, like, do we think, you know, we won our set or our game on Sunday because of the Queens match? No, but we had confidence that we could do it because it wasn't the first time we had to do it. So, yeah.
Never apologize for winning.
Yeah.
Exactly. No matter how long it takes.
Yeah.
Take us behind the scenes a little bit. Who's a part of your support system that if you need anything, they're one text, one call away? Who is that for you all?
Kate Johnson. Kate Johnson does a lot for us outside of even just like academic advising. Like if we literally need anything, I feel like she's our go-to for me.
Are you saying like in a volleyball sense? Like
anything. It can be personal life, volleyball, anything.
Oh, okay. I'm going to pick my parents, obviously. I'm from 3.5 hours away from here, but my dad has literally made almost every single game. Obviously not the ones that are like unreasonably far, but they just really want to come and support me. And I think, I mean, there's so many great options to choose from. There's just such a great support staff here on academic side and athletically, but I definitely choose my parents because day in and day out, like if I just am having an awful day and I call them, I just immediately feel better because they're always just calming me down. But it's also nice to see like a familiar and loving face in the crowd, like especially after a loss at an away game or a great win. So I definitely say like my parents.
Those are always good there too.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. Just especially being 5 hours away from home, this has been like the hardest transition of my life. So just learning how to navigate that without my parents and my siblings, because they're like, we're really, really close. So I would just say my parents, especially my dad. He's just been that person that's been there for me through everything, like life and sports-wise. Like he's a coach, so you know his advice always helps me, and he's always looking at like a father side, but also a coach side. And just whenever I call either of them, they just always brighten my day or my mood, or just bring me back down to earth. And are like, Cooper, like it's one bad practice, you know, or something like that. But I would say my parents too. Mm-hmm.
I would also say my dad. My dad's my absolute rock. I mean, I would not be where I am today without him. I mean, he got me into the sport of volleyball with connections with A5, and he took me to club practices when I couldn't drive. He coaches football on Friday nights, so whenever he could take me, like he would take practice off or go earlier in the morning, like at 5 a.m. before school. That way he could drive me to practice on Tuesdays. He really made an effort to make me feel important and to make sure that I was able to follow my dreams. And still to this day, as a 21-year-old girl, I call him every day after practice, like, hey, here's the rundown, here's what happened, good or bad. I just like to hear his voice and hear what he has to say, because he's always just level-headed, whether I have a good or bad practice. Like I said, he's just still just very just steady, easygoing, just, hey, look, short-term memory, next day, here we go, good or bad. So,
how many different directions are your family on the weekends? Because your dad's coaching football, you're more than not times than not playing volleyball on Friday, your brother plays on Saturday. Where in the world does your family go?
Well, thankfully, my dad's friend has a private jet, so he'll play Friday and then wake up, and then he'll fly him up here, and then he'll come see my game, and then he'll go to Brock's, and then he'll drive down to my little sister because they've been having fall games at Alabama, so he'll go down there and watch them, and then he'll drive back home. So he's just, and my mom too, they're both just all over the place, but they make it happen.
Yeah. And Paige, for you, I know you mentioned kind of coming back home. What's it been like for you just to be able to come back home? And I know you had a rough off season, tore your labrum there. What's this final year been like for you just from a personal standpoint?
Yeah, I think without saying too much about my last school, I was, you know, I had fallen out of love with the sport of volleyball. I was ready my sophomore year. I was ready to be done. Like, I was just going to be a regular student. I didn't want to play volleyball anymore. And it was a really tough time. And, you know, my mom was like, just put your name in the portal and see what happens. And I did not believe that I was going to go to another school. Like, I really didn't. And I picked EKU, and I was like, you know, I'm familiar with Jonna. I didn't know Kendall that well, or Macy, or Cassie wasn't even here yet. But I was like, you know what? If I hate it, at least I'm home. And I still have my family and I have my friends that I grew up with and I can get through it because I'll have that. And then I got here and it's like the best teammates I've ever had in my life, the best coaches I've ever had in my life. I love, love volleyball again. Like, I'm not ready to hang it up after this season. So it's just, it's completely this past, I guess, year and a half, 2 years now that I've been here. It's just, I've done a 180, I think, just falling in love with the sport again. And I enjoy waking up and going to practice every day. And I was not that way in the past. So it's been a really, really good change for me.
I think your teammates are glad to have you, too.
Yes.
What did you learn about yourself through that injury this past year? I know, because sometimes when you're on the sideline, you learn a little bit more from a different standpoint.
Oh, yeah. I think I got here and loved my teammates so much that it was almost like a crutch. Like, I had to do everything with them in volleyball and outside of volleyball. I didn't want to go anywhere or do anything without them. And obviously the competitive drive too, like in practice, I'm like, okay, like, you know, I want to be, you know, pushing my teammates and pushing myself and, like, you know, competing with them. And then all of a sudden I'm injured and I'm watching and having to do rehab on my own and all these things. So I think the biggest thing that I learned from being injured is, one, being okay being on my own and doing things on my own, and then also having that internal drive, not just like external, you know, competitiveness driving me, but being like, I've got to, no one's going to do this for me. I've got to do it for myself, and I've got to do this if I want to be on the court again. So obviously sitting on the sidelines and watching was a big motivation because I wanted to be out there more than anything else. And I was like, I'm going to do whatever I need to do with, physical therapist, with our athletic trainers in the weight room, whatever I can possibly, John Mike was so tired of me, our strength coach, because I was like, can I do that? I mean, every day I'd come in, I'd be like, my biggest thing was, can I run? I was like, let me just start running like that. I was like, I don't care about lifting weights, anything else, like, whatever, just let me run. I asked that man every single day and the answer was always no. He's like, I love you for asking, but no, you know? But yeah, I think just being okay, being on my own and doing things on my own and finding that internal drive, you know, to get back. So
John Mike is a rock.
He is.
Great guy. Emily, you're getting a little bit more chances offensively this year with the formation. How have you had to adjust your game any?
So that actually was kind of just like a crazy transition for me because, like Cooper said earlier, college volleyball is a completely different animal than high school and club. I played right side like here and there in club, and then I played my senior year of high school. But coming in last year, I kind of got some reps here and there, but it was just strictly setter. But this year, Jonna just kind of eased me into that role and just really trusted me and put confidence in me. But like I told her, I was like, I will do anything to make this team successful. If it's going to get us where we need to be, like, throw me in there. I'll freaking play libero or play middle block. I don't care. I'll learn it if I have to. But I'm really blessed that my coaches and my teammates trust me to be able to play a position that's not my primary. Yeah. So,
well, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
So far.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cooper, you're from Marietta, right?
Correct.
You're basically Atlanta through and through. Yep. Your family with Kennesaw State, Georgia mm-hmm. Tech, all the way around. Did they pressure you to go to one of those schools, or did you want to branch out for your own a little bit?
No, there was never any pressure, but it was always like, oh, like, what about Kennesaw State? You know, Georgia Tech was never really a contention, but I had told myself at the beginning, like, and when I was talking to colleges, I was like, 3 hours is my max. Like, I didn't want to go further than 3 hours. I'm a really big homebody. But I did reach out to Kennesaw State, but honestly, it ended up being the best thing that I didn't go to Kennesaw State. But yeah, no, there was no pressure in it. They know this is exactly where I should be. But, you know, always here and there. And now my brother's going through the recruiting process. They're like, Kennesaw State? And he's like, no. And they're like, okay. But yeah.
Braves, Hawks, Falcons fan?
We're Braves fans. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We weren't really Falcons fans because, like, they haven't been very good. But
they're not very good.
They're, like, better this
year. Till this year,
a little bit.
Yeah.
But Braves fans, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like that. That's my team.
Yes.
So I got to ask one question before we get to the wheel here. You all just had your Halloween practice. For those that haven't seen pictures, videos, can you summarize that? for those that need a
chaos.
Yes.
A visual.
Well, we're divided up into groups. We kind of decipher amongst ourselves. The sophomores, so Emily, Mac, and Lydia, were toy soldiers.
It was awesome. We set a very high standard last year, we have to keep going up. So I'm excited for next year, honestly.
Well, yeah, last year they were the Blue Man Group their freshman year, and that was coming out high your freshman year. Yeah. Like they met the challenge this year. We were really surprised. I had no idea, so I was really surprised.
We were so serious about keeping a secret.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We live with two other freshmen, and me and Lydia in our dorm, and we were putting stuff in our shirt, you can't see, it's a secret. And they had no idea, so we were very secretive.
And then the freshmen, only the freshmen?
Well, it was only the freshmen, and then Sarah, joined in last minute, because her costume,
But then her costume showed up.
Then her costume showed up. But we were just people me, and it was actually funnier than we thought.
Yeah. No, it was really good. My favorite, Issa.
She delivered with the vector.
She was vector.
She, cut her wig to a bob. It was
amazing.
It was awesome.
And then Carson and Maddie Tolzman were South Park characters at AG last night. So we went to Spirit World and picked up these costumes, and AG wasn't with us, and we got back. We're next door neighbors, and so I'm over at their house, and we were walking down to my house to get batteries for our inflatable suits, and AG goes, I didn't want to be rude, but what's South Park?
You had no clue?
I have never heard of South Park, ever.
She was like, I don't know if it's supposed to be funny or what. She probably didn't want me saying that, but that was so funny.
Oh, no.
I was cracking up. So they were Kenny and Eric from South Park, and then me and AG were Teletubbies, and it was super last minute. I mean, we bought the costumes last night. We were trying to figure out all different ideas, and
it was entertaining.
It was scary.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So
South Park's the one with 20 seasons, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really crude. It's like adult cartoons.
It is. It's different. You have to have an acquired taste.
Oh,
for it.
Yeah.
So. All right. You all ready to attack this wheel?
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
So there's all sorts of questions on here, random, of course. And AG, you want to start us?
Sure.
Okay. Just like you're on Price is Right. All right. You're being stuck on a deserted island with a teammate.
My number one go-to would be Sarah Mitchell. Absolutely, because I know she could start a fire. I know she could probably spear a fish if we needed to. Okay. I'm sure she could
build a fort,
whittle up a basket of some type. I just feel very secure.
Just a handy
with
person
her.
To have
yes,
around.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good answer. I like that. You put some strategy in behind that.
I did.
Yeah. Paige?
Pardon my reach here.
Use that big wingspan. Strangest job you've had?
I was a hostess at the Costa Cafe here in Richmond in high school.
Okay.
I was.
Dealing with some hungry people, that's not always ideal.
No, it's not. And it's definitely everybody apparently wants Mexican after church on Sundays. So.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But that was definitely interesting.
Yeah, I bet.
Am I going to reach?
Yeah, you can go behind or you can go
I'm going to go
in front
across
there.
You, Paige. Yep. Oh. I'm don't want to rip anything up for here. Please don't be karaoke.
Best dancer on the team.
I want to say myself because I'm always boogieing.
And
but
she can hit the split.
Yes. That's my little party trick. Yeah. I'd either say Mac or me.
Okay.
Mac grew up dancing, so she's just got
she's got a little
crazy
bit of an
rhythm.
On
yeah.
You. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cooper?
You can just spin it for me if you want.
Okay.
So I don't have to hobble over you.
I will die if it's karaoke. Oh.
Oh, so close to karaoke. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Cookie dough.
Okay. That's a good pick. Always a solid pick.
Yes, for sure.
Always solid pick. Well, ladies, thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed getting to talk to you all, and best of luck on the year. It's coming to an end here fairly quickly. Hopefully it's a long postseason run, but thanks so much for your time.
Yeah,
thank you for having us.
All right. That is EKU Volleyball here on the podcast here today, and we have been chatting with AG Vandegrift, Paige Wagers, Emily Hill, and Cooper Abney. Thanks so much for tuning us in. Until next time, you've been kicking it with the Colonels.